to Check It Out Comrade, an indie game podcast where every 2 weeks we bring you two indie games and tell you what we like about them. I'm Nick Lauber.
And I am Gary Butterfield.
And this week we're doing Broforce and Divinity Original Sin.
Yeah, two very different games, but yeah. both throwbacks.
Definitely, like, yeah, if you had to theme it.
Yeah, like kind of purposely retro games of wildly different genres. So Nick, tell me about Broforce.
Sure. So it's a side-scrolling, they call it run-and-gun platform on Wikipedia, which I'll agree with. It was first released in April of 2014 as an early access game, and I believe it's available apparently on Windows, OS X, and PlayStation 4 and Vita by Free Live Games, who I don't think is known for anything before this. And published by Devolver Digital.
Yeah, I've never heard of this developer.
Yeah.
At all. So it's still in alpha, and like this is what a good example of like a game that's in alpha that feels really complete and fun.
Yeah.
Like sure. if there are no other features like added to this, I would still feel good about it. In contrast, it was something like I remember when we did not everybody felt this way, but I felt a little bit about You Are Being Hunted, where like I felt like it wasn't ready.
Yeah,
you know, and this feels ready, and they're just going to add more stuff to it.
Yeah, exactly. They did a really good job of kind of completing their core before ever showing it off to anyone, and just allowing themselves the space to tack on as much as they want from
yeah.
there. So yeah, it was started as a Ludum Dare game jam game called Rambros,
mm-hmm.
and where you just had the sort of Rambo character, and you could couch co-op and run and gun in a very Metal Sluggy style, and yeah. So Gary, what do you like about Broforce?
It's just real fun. Like, I mean, the fun factor's through the roof. The controls are crisp. The graphics are a 10 out of 10. I think that like what makes it different than like Metal Slug is, one, it has this element of randomness to it, because as you move through the game, you unlock different bros, and they all have different ability sets.
Yeah.
And every time you unlock a bro, your bro gets switched, regardless of how attached you are to the original bro.
Exactly.
So you have this element of randomness, which is really fun, and it's that randomness coupled with like zero consequence. Like, you have unlimited lives, and checkpoints are really frequent. So it's not a big deal, you know, if you get stuck with some kind of loser bro.
Right.
So that's really fun. And then the destructible environments is a real like different kind of thing. So you can kind of tunnel through walls and destroy the floor under large enemies.
Yeah.
And make them sink into the ground and shit. Like, that's really cool.
I like the barrels that explode in a specific direction, taking everything with them.
Yeah.
So, like propane tanks that you shoot a hole into and they start shooting off.
Yeah. Yeah. And a big action movie.
Yeah.
And dim cliche, but they don't just like blow up things. They push them off the screen and where they die. Like, that's a nice touch.
Yeah. It's pretty nice.
Yeah, and the aesthetic is this whole kind of like 80s action movie over the top, you know, like all the almost all the characters are from 80s action movies, like all the Jean-Claude Van Dammes and Arnold Schwarzenegger characters and stuff. And there are some lady bros that actually show up a little bit later.
Yeah.
And then some things I don't know if I would consider Will Smith in Men in Black a bro.
No.
Like, it's kind of a weird, like, it's not an 80s action movie.
He's not really a bro. And neither is Neo from The Matrix.
No.
But you know, they add some, at least at the very least, they make all the characters unique and interesting. So you have to kind of, since you're forced into them, like you said, like if you find one or you die, you're given a random one. So you kind of have to make the best use of the abilities that each bro has.
Mm-hmm.
And it requires you to quickly and vastly swap up how you are making your way through the level. You have someone who's, you know, whoever the guy is that has the machine gun is a lot different from the Blade.
Right. Yeah, just a melee character.
Yep.
And then they also have like different kind of passive abilities as well. And some of them really fuck with the formula quite a bit. One of the things that's worth noting is like how short the levels are. So unlike like Mercenary Kings, which I like that game more than you did, but I think we both had a problem where like each level was kind of big and a maze.
Mm-hmm.
In Broforce, the levels are really short. Like, almost, at least in the beginning of the game, almost like these kind of micro levels.
Yeah.
You know, and they give you a timer. There's like a speedrun element to it, if you'd like. And at the end of each level, I think that we did some co-op and I played alone and maxed out at about 4.5 minutes.
Right.
So it just moves real quick. You know, yeah, it's really well paced.
Very fast paced, and like that's sort of the cannon fodder element really plays into that too. Mm-hmm. You kind of just throw yourself into situations, pushing yourself to the end of the level as fast as possible. And if you lose a good character along the way, it's unfortunate, but you know it's not there's not a huge negative penalty for it. So you just kind of keep the pace going.
Yep, and the you know it's really chaotic too. So it's not like a really super precise you know platformer where like there's a little bit of like wall jumping and kind of Meat Boy-ness mm-hmm. to getting around, but there's so many explosions and so many like just kind of flying pixels that it's really hard to get a real good sense of where you're at any given time. So it's not really going for that. Like it's going for like a real wild, you know, anything goes kind of environment.
Yeah. I think this would actually be really fun to get four people together and do some couch co-op on.
Yeah.
The online element right now is alpha. It appears to, as far as Gary and I can tell, just be the standard campaign mm-hmm. without even like the level select, which you get in single player. It's just kind of a linear form of all the levels that you can run through with your bros.
Yep.
But playing couch co-op and checking out the other modes and just getting four people involved in the chaotic mayhem would be probably a lot of fun.
Yeah, and if you're interested in checking this out, like you know, it's like right now it's $15 price tag. But they made an expansion for this game based on the Expendables 3 called the Expendabros, which like fuck the Expendables. However, it's free, and it's the same gameplay and everything. It's just different characters and levels.
Oh, neat. Was it actually, like, advertisement for the movie?
Yeah, it's like a tie-in, but you can still get it. Like, I just saw it on Steam before we got into the record. Right. So, yeah, if you're interested, just, you know, it's like a demo, essentially. And if you're just a you know, a Broforce maniac, you get some more bros. You get to play as, like, Channing Tatum and whoever the action kids are these days.
Sylvester Stallone at age
60. Yeah, so still, yeah, you're Rambo then, and then Rambo is just like a Madame Tussauds wax golem, like repulsive melting candle of a man.
Yeah.
So up with Broforce, down
with Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
Like. Yeah. So yeah, this is like we said, it's early access currently, but it is a lot of fun in its current state. So. Probably worth your time to check out, especially if you've got some friends really hunting for some fun co-op actions, couch co-op especially.
Yeah, if you're doing big screen mode, you know, or, you know, just wait for the online to get a little bit more robust. Like, we didn't really have a problem with it. There was some kind of weird glitchy things that would happen, but not a big deal.
Yeah, no, it worked fine. Like, yeah. We had no problem getting into a lobby together and starting it going. Just, mm-hmm. It's very feature light in that mode so far.
That's so fucking important. Like, I play games online with Derek. Like, he's my, you know, co-op game buddy usually.
Right.
And like, you know, sometimes we just don't feel like playing anything we have, you know, so we'll look for something cheap and co-op. And like, it's the boring, most boring, shittiest game to get that to work sometimes. Yeah, no, you know, like, it's just like, well, let's make sure we budget about 45 minutes of like looking for solutions and
just to get it working.
Yeah. The, like, secure, like, the patch to disable secure ROM and the server that thinks that you are already logged in. Like, we, for Neverwinter Nights 1, the trick is literally for me to start a lobby and for Derek to join it before the game can check. So he gets in. Like, you have to fool it. It's so fucking stupid. And when we were playing Neverwinter Nights 2, we just started that. And like, you had to like run this like series of patches to like disable secure ROM, one of which required his computer to be disconnected from the internet.
Oh,
so it couldn't
Christ.
Like automatically check. It's so ridiculous. And this just works like, you know, same thing when we did Battle Block. Like, I love like a game that just like, well, here's your friends list.
Yep.
Play Very games nice. With them.
Yeah. Actually, since we brought up Mercenary Kings already, I tried to play that online with a couple friends and one of my friends had no problem, but every other time we tried to get the third person in, it just stopped working. They could play single player fine. We tried changing hosts and join configurations and port forwarding and all that stuff, and just could not get it to work. So
that's frustrating. This is the like you know, the one of the things about early access, and it's like a longer, you know, larger discussion, but like, you do kind of get those things because that was early access, right? When you first got it,
I think when we played it was technically the full release.
Oh, maybe not, but like, just the. Just so it doesn't seem like I was going to make a mysterious, profound point and then not say anything. It was just like, you do have an element of trust going into it where like, oh, this is going to improve.
Right.
You know, and then if it doesn't, that's frustrating. Like, that's been out for a little while. Fix it, guys.
Yeah, they still haven't fixed it. I think the problem with that one, actually, is emphasis on console ports over PC, which is also a very frustrating thing in the industry right now.
Yeah, so. It is the biggest problem facing, I would say, just the United States.
I mean, so, I don't know why Obama's not on this.
Yeah, no. Yeah, yeah, Kanbama. Okanba.
Console scrub Obama.
Yeah.
Listen, I admit I am a one-issue voter, and there is no way in 2016 am I voting for any other candidate if they don't make that a main running point.
Give
me
an intelligent AI. Like, download Gabe Newell onto a flash drive. Just a classic thumb drive, and I'll vote for that. yeah, speaking of PC Master Race, let's talk about Divinity.
Yeah, this is definitely one that the PC metalheads, I guess, are. I don't know what a good word for the PC fanatics, but this is definitely a title that they're kind of waving proudly.
Yeah.
At the moment.
Yeah, this is a super grognardy game.
Yeah, for sure. So, Divinity: Original Sin. It is a very classic CRPG styled RPG. It is made by Larian Studios, who before this has done every other game that has had Divinity in the title.
Yep.
which I played none of. So, which I've actually heard a lot of people say, you know, you don't need to know anything about the Divinity world. This game kind of takes quite a different kind of twist on their compared to the other games they've had. Just kind of set in the same area, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a Kickstarter game, and it is only available on Windows and OS X as of the 30th of June 2014, and is coming out for Linux sometime soon.
It would be a terrible game on console.
Oh yeah, no,
like you couldn't do it. Like, it's not like, you know, Dragon Age or something where like it's doable. It's not. It would be
for
intolerable.
Sure.
I didn't realize when I first got this game, I didn't realize it was part of that series. I'd played Divine Divinity before, and I liked it, but it is too, like, at the time the UI was too complicated for me.
Gotcha.
It was too PC-ass for me. And like, I like a PC game, you know, and like, these are my favorite kinds of games, like old CRPGs, but
right.
Divine Divinity was tough for me to get into, but this, like, I'm able to eat up like a motherfucker. So.
Yeah, like I said, I have no experience with any of the other games. There's quite a few of them, though. Like,
yeah, there's like 8.
Yeah, let me double check that just to be sure. But yeah, they've had Divine Divinity in 2002, then Beyond Divinity, Divinity 2, and some expansions, and Divinity Dragon Commander, which I can only hope was a spinoff.
Yeah, yeah, that was last year too. So like, if there's any of them, I'm going to go back to if this game sticks the landing. It might
yeah.
be that one because it's more recent. Like with these kind of games, like what this is doing, like this fall is such a ridiculous golden time for CRPGs. We're recording this one day away from Wasteland 2.
Yes.
Is like taking these modern kind of design considerations and UI things and applying it to these old games that, you know, traditionally have kind of a barrier to entry.
Mm-hmm.
And this does, you know, it is complicated. Like, it is a complicated ass game,
right.
But it is not. You know, it's not like all hotkeys,
right?
Like, it's not like
it's
playing
not
System Shock 1. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it is like a top down, like think Baldur's Gate. Think without you know, think Baldur's Gate or like Temple of Elemental Evil, but with turn points or you know, move action points similar to Fallout.
AP. Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, and it just does a lot of really neat things with that formula. So like. Principally among them are, I guess, similar to the last game we did, manipulatable environments.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a huge emphasis on tactically combining elements in a way that reminded me the most of Magicka, which is really strange. But like a big thing that you do in this game, like, and the game is hard until you start doing this. Like, you really have to start taking advantage of these things is like, okay, this guy doesn't see me. I'm going to make it rain where he's at, and then I'm going to strike him with lightning. You know, or this guy is holding a torch and he's next to a barrel of oil. I'm going to shoot that barrel of oil so it splashes oil on him and sets him on fire.
Yeah.
Like, there's this whole element of, like, manipulating your environment that's, like, super, super fucking cool.
It is really neat. Like, I think they kind of, I think that might be one of the main sort of turning points that made this game sort of break out from the series. Because I've heard of the original games before, but this game's just getting a ton of press comparatively.
Yeah, it's got like amazing reviews. Like,
yeah, and it's not like they don't have the best writing staff or anything. They're like a Swedish company or something. Like, they don't have the best English, you know, Avalone style writers on staff. So they had to make something else be their kind of main drive in their CRPG. And this really neat use of environments in their in the combat system, I think, basically drove it home for a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah. The combat system is like really important. The writing is real funny too, though. Like, it's kind of lighthearted in a way, like, because I do the Baldur's Gate blog, so right. Like, I've been noticing the difference between Baldur's Gate, which has a lot of jokes in it, and you know, Dragon Age, which is dead serious except for one joke. And like the whole like, sometimes your companions will make fun of each other, but there's one joke in the entire world. And this is like super goofy. Like, just before we started recording, I found these like sentient statues that like I've been tricking people. Like, I've been finding corpses, and like they've been tricking people into thinking they can fly and stuff, which, like, that's fine, you know. And they're just like, you know, weird goofy statues. But one right. of them was like, do you want to see the future? And I was like, you know, yes. He's like, are you sure? Once you see this darkness, you don't know if you can take it back. I'm like, you know, fuck it, I quick saved, I'll do it. And then he shows you the credits for Divine Divinity. Like, how good is that?
That's brilliant.
Yeah,
dude.
It's,
oh my God.
It's so good. Like, I just, it's real. Like, the sense of humor is not obnoxious, but like, is just present in everything. Like, you take a talent for cheap that lets you talk to animals, mm-hmm. and they're really funny. Like, and they help you out. Like, one of the first thing you do in the game, like the first mission, is solving this murder mystery, and like the dog that is whose master died will like smell pieces of evidence that you find and see if they smell like his master.
That's awesome.
And stuff. It's so cool. And he talks like a dog. Like, he's just like, this doesn't smell like Jake. Jake was the best. Jake, you know, Jake had the best smell ever. Jake used to tell me I was a good boy. Like, he's like super excited dog.
That's awesome.
It's great. Like, it's real. I can't say enough good things about it. It still has like that barrier to entry, though. Like, it is hard to get into. This is, I'm like 5 or 6 or 7 hours into it now, and it's my third start over.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, this game is super dense. I've only actually put a couple hours into it. I like it enough that I still wanted to talk about it on the show. But man, like, you cannot just start this up for 5 minutes and like play 20 minutes even.
Not remotely. Or,
and actually get anywhere. Like, it is very much a hugely dense, very deep RPG in the same style, like we said, as Baldur's Gate and stuff. So I really wish I want more time to just focus on this game, because I'm sure it's amazing even further in. But
yeah, it's a real time suck. Like, I've been kind of playing it all day, and like, I'm enjoying it and I'm really immersed, but it's not for cashes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not for contards. The by any means. Another really cool thing just I want to mention, like, the things that I've seen this game does that I haven't seen anything else do is you have two characters, and they kind of have personalities, but you define them by them like disagreeing with each other, or like you'll run into a situation like a really early on moral choice is orcs are bad guys in this. And this guy was getting away from a lady orc and threw his bag, and there was a love potion in it. So the orc fell in love with him. And one of his friends is like, hey, this is going to wear off. This is a shitty potion. These things, you know, killed our family. Like, this is dangerous. We had to put this thing down. And the guy who's in love with her is like, no. You know, I've been lonely. Like, this is, can't you see in her eyes? She's gentle, et cetera. And, you encounter these situations, and then your two characters will talk about it, and you give them different dialogue options that give you different traits. So like pragmatic or loyal or good hearted or cold hearted or what have you. I even found all of them. And if they disagree, they play paper, rock, scissors, and whoever has the highest, diplomacy you have to get to 10 for each win, or you have to get to 10 and you get more points for each win, depending on a certain stat.
Yeah.
So people can be better at that.
And it's worth noting too that the choices you pick for each character, this game tried to emphasize a co-op, that you could play two-player co-op playing the same game, and instead of you both controlling, you know, in single player you control both characters, in co-op you guys control each of the characters individually. And so you guys can actually have you'll say what your dialogue points are, and the other person will say what the other person's dialogue points are.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can actually have, you know, real arguments between your two individual feelings on a scenario in the game, as opposed to purposely creating them between the characters.
Yeah.
So I think that's really a neat idea as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool. Like, so far, like, everything it's doing is hitting all the right buttons for me. And it just took, like, it has a bit of a pacing problem. Like, you start off, you do the tutorial, which is a dungeon, and then you get smack dab thrown into about 2 hours of investigative, murder mystery. Before you
That's
can actually,
exactly what I meant when I was like, man, this is just way too dense for
you. You can leave town, but you have to convince the guard to let you leave town because you're too weak. Like, you shouldn't go out and fight monsters. And, like, you just have to get through that. And, like, now I'm exploring the environs and stuff. And the combat, which is, like, one of the highlights, is super fun. And I'm really glad I've gotten to it. But, yeah, it has a little bit of a pacing problem where it is, like, super dense to get into. But it has a little bit of that, like, respec problem where, like, every time I start, I thought I was made the wrong character, you know?
Yeah, it's hard to, especially since you and I are coming from this blind, we don't really have a much of a feel for their system and how they, you know, what sort of character to spec out, so.
Right, since it's not based on, like, D&D or something.
Right.
Like, if you pick up D&D, like, that's one of the things about, like, I like it when game series do oddball entries and you can use like your knowledge of the main series as kind of a guide.
Yeah.
Like the for Wii, there's a roguelike called Chocobo Dungeon.
Right.
Which is really like, it's a really good roguelike, but the awesome thing about it is like, oh, I know what Faraga is. I know what, you know, Scan is. I know what all these things do because of Final Fantasy single player.
Exactly.
Or a regular RPG. So yeah. Yeah, good shit.
Like, yeah, both are excellent games.
Yeah.
Both for very different reasons, but you know, one's super quick pick up and play. One is one of the densest, richest RPG experiences out right now. So
yeah, it's a real, like, if you can clear away a night and play for a few hours.
Yeah, exactly. You got to get over that hump and get yourself seriously hooked, and then you'll probably, I don't know what the estimated gameplay like amount is on this game, but I assure you, it's an absolute ton.
Yeah,
like,
it's just
so much content in this game,
and has not felt like any kind of padding yet. The I haven't gotten a chance to do any co-op with it because this is the most expensive game we've done for the show.
That's true.
It is a indie game, you know, strictly speaking, but it is also like a full budget, you know.
Yeah, it is also like published by a major publisher and stuff. Like this, we don't like to define it. This feels like an indie game. We're gonna call it an indie game.
But, yeah.
But there's definitely a price difference between this and most of the games we covered. So
right. So none of my friends have bought it. So I can't haven't been able to play co-op. I know Nick has it, but as we said, you have to really have like a good, okay, let's clear off our Saturday and play Divinity for 7 hours.
You and I already make plans for the points in our schedules that work already. So
exactly.
And that is Comrade and RPG and tabletop RPGs.
Yep. So if everybody at RPG night, something happens to them, or if they just ditch us, like what if they at some point were just like, listen, it's not working out. It'd be really surprising.
With us?
Yeah.
We're like
just the two
too.
Of us. Yeah, I know. Like we're just going to hang out with the three of us. Well shit, guys.
That would suck.
And we're taking Brayden with us.
Like, no, not Brayden.
He's so new.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to call it there. Thanks for listening, guys. So, Gary, where can they check us out further beyond listening to the podcast?
Well, more people should listen to the show, and the way to make that happen is to go on iTunes and rate and review the show, and tell people about it either in person or on the internet. So, if you like the show, don't be shy about it. Like, say it on Twitter, say it on blogs and stuff like that, because it's a good show. We both really like it, but I feel like it needs more attention.
So. Yeah, I agree. And actually, in that vein, how about we announce our contest?
Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
All right. So we are going to run a little contest here, starting from the time this episode is published up until about, I believe, the start of November, end of October.
Mm-hmm.
If you would like to be so kind as to write a review for us on iTunes, we are going to take the full list of everyone who's reviewed this podcast on iTunes and randomly pick, by the end of October, one person to receive a copy of Binding of Isaac Rebirth.
Yes, because as you know, we've been looking forward to that. And you should look forward to when we talk about it.
Yes. So. Yeah, we plan on dedicating a lot of time to talking about it.
Yep.
We have a couple surprises for that episode in store as well. So So yeah, please give us a review, and you might win yourself a copy, which, you know, if you haven't played Isaac already, you're gonna love it. Yeah. I assure you. So
yeah, and it's also you know, and if you don't like the show and you wanna write a shitty review, don't.
You haven't listened this far.
And you shouldn't do that. So we're trying to help the show.
On top of that, if you've already reviewed, which there are a couple on there, and we thank you very much, you guys have said some very kind words about the show already. You guys are included already. Mm-hmm. So it's everybody who's ever reviewed it at any point in time, up until our cutoff, which, like I said, is probably going to be the end of October.
Indeed. So, yeah.
A couple more points real quick. Duckfeed.tv/comrade is where you can find all about us, all the previous episodes and all that jazz. Mm-hmm. Facebook.com/checkitoutcomrade is our Facebook page. You can talk to us there, or also on Twitter at Comrade Podcast.
Yep, and if you would like to meet us in person and you live in the Portland area, watch out for Fireballs, another one of our shows, is doing a live show at the Portland Retro Gaming Expo the weekend of the 17th and 18th of October. And we're doing a meetup. So if you go to the Watch Out for Fireballs Facebook group, you can invite yourself to that and hang out with me and Nick.
Yep, we'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks.